lesson this morning, a mother's love. Now, you know my thoughts on concerning Mother's Day, and this is my third Mother's Day with you. Don't do that. We're flying through, right? I can't believe it. I don't like preaching messages only to mothers. Mothers are special, and there are certain aspects of mothers that no one else has. We get that. We understand that. I'm not trying to decrease mothers at any point. But if I just preach only to mothers, then most of you would not, you know, we got some guys in here, some people that aren't mothers, and they would be kind of left out. And if not, you know, the Bible says for us to preach the whole word, but also to preach to everyone that's there. So I don't like preaching just specifically to mothers. So I want to make some statements about mothers, but you can insert the word father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, grandparent, child, or human being that loves other human beings. They're all aspects that we all should have as a human being. Everyone ought to pray. Everyone ought to encourage children to be part of a church. Everyone ought to read the Bible to children. Everyone ought to trust God. Everyone ought to keep their promises. Everyone ought to praise God. Everyone ought to teach children to live godly through Christ. But if people do not allow God to reveal himself to others around them, then all these are vain. And that's part of the issue is we sometimes attribute certain attributes to mothers, but those are, I saw that one day, here's what mothers ought to do. That's what every human being should do, right? If we don't reflect Christ to those around us, the Bible reading to children is nullified. If you don't show the love of Christ to those around you, making anyone go to church really is futile. And so that's what we want to make sure we understand, that people see Christ more than anything else. And checking off a list of things to do as a human being is great, but they don't see Christ in their lives. And you've probably seen people like that. They're like, I go to church and I read the Bible, and they wear the t-shirts, they have all the perfect Jesus stuff, you know, but yet you can't see Jesus in their mind. You're kind of like, no, that didn't really work out. So to emphasize these points, that because it is Mother's Day, I'm going to use two mothers of the Bible to emphasize a teaching that we all should have, not just mothers. We can learn from everybody in the Bible. God puts these characters in the Bible, their lives, and so we can learn from their attributes. So just because it's mothers doesn't mean, oh, it's not for me. Because you'll see, this is an attribute for everybody. So the first one we're going to look at is Christ's mother, Mary. John chapter 2, verse 5. And again, for you online, I will see it on the screen there. We do have it up on the screen here for here, but we'll try to get that working for next time. But John 2, 5 says, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. So this is Mary's statement. In fact, it's the only command in the Bible that Mary says. She says some other things, but it's the only command that we see, and she's pointing people to Jesus. So that should make you think about her understanding of who she was and her role to Jesus. Mary and Jesus were at a wedding in Cana, and a problem arose, and what did Mary do? She went to Christ for the solution first. She said, go to Jesus. Whatever he says, do it. Teaching them and us the understanding of complete yield. So what if you went to Jesus and Jesus said, hey, I want everybody to go around and hop on one foot. Hop on one foot, who cares, right? This rebellious idea of Christianity nowadays, I'm seeing it kind of well up in younger people, whatever. It's like, I have nowhere in the Bible do I see God tell me I have to do that. Well, actually, here's the verse right here. You obviously don't read the Bible, but here it is right here. Well, I don't know, that's not the modern age. You're just rebellious. You're just trying to find a loophole out of something, you know. But let's start with what God wants us to do first, and then work from there, versus just what you want God to do. So this is what Mary said. Go to Jesus, whatever he says, do it. So he begins to tell them, I want you to fill up these things with water. Well, that's stupid. We don't need water. Like, that's ridiculous. Can you imagine the people there doing that? That's just dumb. That didn't make sense to Jesus. We don't need water, we need wine. We're out of juice, Jesus. That's ridiculous. I enjoyed it. Right? You see, no, this is this one, fill up the water, right? And then he says, now begin pouring water. Water in people's wine glasses? That's really ridiculous, Peter. I'm not doing that. They didn't do that, right? So Mary says, go to Jesus, whatever he says, do it. And they do it. And all of a sudden the water starts coming out with wine. And not just wine, the best wine. And we think about that. Our life lessons from our parents and those that are in leadership and those that are around us to lead us should not be that you can be all you want to be because you can't. Should not be, hey, you can do whatever you set your mind to because you can't. Or pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and work hard and you'll be successful because you won't. I mean, these are the things that we hear sometimes in society, you know. And we want to tell our children, we want to tell those grandchildren, nieces and nephews and people around us, you can be anything you want to be. No, you can't. I wanted to be a man with wings so I could fly around. It didn't happen. Well, and within reason. Right. I wanted to be a star NBA basketball player. At 6'1", it wasn't happening. I know there's some 6'1 guys out there playing basketball, but yeah, there's a special talent, of which I did not have. So I couldn't be all that I wanted to be, right? Then I want to play football. I want to be like Roger Staubach. I can't throw a football, like, I don't think I can throw it wrong. Even in high school, when I have an arm, I don't think I can throw it wrong back then. You know? So I wasn't going to be a Roger Staubach. So you can't just be what you want to be. And pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Life happens. Things happen where, you know, I pull up my bootstraps and 2 days later I get my legs amputated. Now I don't have boots anymore. Now I don't, you know. I mean, there's certain things in life that just happen. You can't always just say that. But what if we tell people, what if we told children and those that are watching us around us, look to Christ. Do whatever he says to do. Go to Christ and yield to him. See what he will do with your life. And whatever he says, do it. Now, if that was the message we continue to put out there, if that was the message that we told people that are watching us and weren't leading them, and whether you're a mother or not, there's people that are watching you, and there's people that are following you, and there's people that want to hear about what you have to learn, to teach them, and you tell them, hey, go to Jesus. Do whatever he says to do. That's a pretty good direction there. But any problem pops up in our life, we need to have that answer in our heart and teach those that are watching us to look to Christ through the problem. And so often as Christians, we don't even have the answer. Like, what am I supposed to do? Well, you go to Jesus? I guess. Well, that should be the first thing we do. When any problem pops up, we really go to Jesus. And that's what Mary would teach them. She had no idea what Jesus was going to say. He had never done a miracle before, so she didn't think that. That was the furthest from her mind. She knew who he was. She knew what he could do. But she didn't know. What if Jesus said, yeah, the party's over with. Let's go home. What if that was the answer? Yeah, we're going to be wine. The party's over with. Alright, well, let's go home. We can do whatever it says. She didn't know what the answer was going to be. And so often we go to Jesus and we expect Jesus to do exactly what we're asking him to do. Jesus, do this for me. Well, he may not do that for you. He may be doing something completely different. Just do what he says to do. Mary had no idea, but without seeing a miracle manifestation in her life, she had pondered everything that she had learned about Jesus in her heart from birth, and she knew that if there could be something to be done, he'd be the one to do it. That's what we have to think of. So, she had faith that Jesus was so godly, the person that in her life that she knew that could be done, this would be Jesus, and her faith was so deep in him. So no matter what he commands, we do. It doesn't matter what he says, if he's doing the work through us, it's going to be right, it's going to be good, it's going to be just. So we go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I don't know what I'm doing. Do it through me. What do I do? And he says, go this way. We go, okay, doesn't seem right, doesn't make sense. Alright, I'll do what you want me to do. But I think it's going to be crazy. Right? Was that your thought in mind as a believer? Do we kind of think that way with Jesus? As a believer, do we give him a blank check in our life? Say, God, what do you want to do? Right? Knowing that whatever is come from him, whatever he asks us to do, this would be a good thing. Or do we sometimes hold back and go, yeah, Jesus, I don't know, this doesn't make sense to me, I don't know what you're going to do this, so I'm just going to do it myself. Now, we've learned that last in the month, haven't we? Just kind of, Jesus, I don't know what you're doing with your church, but that's your church. I don't know what this is going on. I don't know how this is going to work out. that's yours. Whatever you have to do, I'm just going to do. And that's what we've done. And it's going to be good. We're going to see good come from it because we gave it to him. So is that your mind and thought of labor? Do we give a blank check? Mary also said, whatever he says to you. Like that. She knew that the first thing to do was to listen to Jesus. Right? Whatever he says to you, do. Whatever he says, this is the one who she knew that the one who created the universe was a spoken word. She knew that his words were powerful. She knows that his words were words that could change the universe. So as he speaks and you listen to the one that has the power to do that, his word created. The Bible says in Revelation 19, his name is called the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. But whatever he was going to be, she knew that. And you think about it, no one else probably really understood that. She's the one that pondered those things in her heart from birth. And so here she is, the 37 years of age, and she said, whatever he says, he can speak the universe in existence by talking. Dude, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So is that our mind, is that our thought? That when we go to Jesus, when we look at his word, we're praying to him, when we seek his guidance, do we really think about our mind that this is Jesus who created the universe that I'm speaking to? This is Jesus that created the universe that I'm listening to. This is Jesus who created the universe that with his spoken word, is this something that's going to be special coming from him? And am I going to listen to it and do what he asked me to do? These are the things to think about. Mary did, and we shall learn from her. The second mother we see that we're going to look at in the Bible today is the mother of Mrs. Zebedee. I don't know what her name was. She was Mrs. Zebedee. She was the mother of James and John Zebedee, right? And the Zebedee's sons, right? And Matthew 20, verse 20 says, then the mother of the Zebedee's sons came to him with her son, and kneeling before him, she asked for a certain thing. He said to her, what do you want? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit at one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom. So this is the question she gave. I love Jesus' answer. Jesus gave her an amazing answer. He said, you don't even know what you're asking. You have no idea what you just asked. Wow. As a mom, you're like, okay. I thought we did, but all right, I just kind of have to, you know. He said, you have no idea what you just asked. And he goes on to explain that she basically is asking for her son to be tortured, ridiculed, and crucified. Right? That's what he said. Right? They're not going to be able to be baptized, but I'm about to be baptized. They're not going to be able to handle what I'm about to go through. You have no idea what you just asked. Oh, okay. And then he said, and beside all that, I don't have the power to do that anyway. God's the one that has the power to have someone sit at his right hand. Because Jesus knew exactly where he was going. And if God was on the throne, and the Bible says that Jesus sits on the right hand of God, and the Bible says that the right hand of God has the power to save lives, and the Bible says that the right hand of God has the power to bring resurrection, and the power to give people for life, that's through Christ, my hand. How is the other one going to sit on the left and right of Jesus? We're going to come God and move out of the way? She doesn't really understand because in her mind, she was thinking just a kingdom. She was just thinking a real king that would be sitting up there. And so he goes on to explain that to her. And she said, well, I just really like them to be there in that inner circle. But the first part of the same chapter, Jesus tells a story that might have disturbed her. And maybe the story that he tells is what got her to think about coming in. The story of a man who hires laborers in the morning and then hires laborers all throughout the day, and then everyone gets the same pay. And then just a few verses later, that's what she's going to Jesus and to make this right. Like, I heard that story you said. Everyone's going to get the same pay. Everyone's going to get their kingdom. I get that. But my sons are in the center circle, Peter, James, and John, right? The two-thirds of the same, of the trio, of the inner circle of Jesus, And I think they're better than Peter, so, right? So the opportunity presented itself to Peter Christ. Matthew says that he bowed down before him and made his request. When you establish your kingdom, I request that my son to the right hand and left hand. We might criticize this 70 for her presumptuousness, but think about this a little bit. We need to see that she did come to Jesus humble. She bowed down before him. Right? She did bring her children to Jesus, because they were with her. So she's showing her children, he's the one we go to, and he's the one we're bowing down to. So she's demonstrating a humbleness that should come from someone leading others to Jesus. So she did pretty good, actually. She taught them that it's okay to beseech Jesus for God. It is okay for us to go to the throne of God. It is okay that I will go for it to boldly go before the Lord God. So she's teaching her children, and she's teaching them that they are to go humbly, to go before Jesus. He has the answer, but go before him boldly and ask. And it's okay to do that. Right? She might not have understood the whole kingdom thing. And I think it's kind of cool to think about also is that we don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to have 100% of understanding God's kingdom to bow down before Jesus and ask him something. And Jesus isn't going to mock us. That's the stupidest question I've ever heard. That's ridiculous. Let's go back home. He's going to be real with us. Man, I hear your question. That's a tough one. Because here's what's going to have to happen if that's going to happen. Yeah, never mind. Okay. Man, I don't really want that, right? Crucified, beaten, ridiculed. I don't want someone to go through that. But Mary is not happy, right? But Zebedee, she didn't want her kids to go through that. She wanted them to be with Christ, and she wanted to show them how to come to him by humbly worshiping him. You know, being a parent, being a leader, being someone that's following behind you, it's not easy, it's difficult. But Miss Zebedee gives us some valuable examples. She took her children to feed Jesus. We should do that. She taught her children about Jesus. We should do that. I know many parents pray for their children, but how many parents pray with their children about the feet of Jesus? You know, you say, well, I pray for my niece and nephew, or my brother, or my sister, or my mom and dad, or, you know, my aunt and uncle, or, you know, I pray for the person. How many times do they see you pray with them at the feet of Jesus? So praying for them is great, but praying with them sometimes shows them that we're able to come right to Jesus. Miss Zebedee had big expectations. She didn't just pray that her children would be exhorting her to the kingdom. She prayed for her children to be leaders of the kingdom. That's pretty big. That's a big ask. That's what I want anyone who's underneath me, any person who's following me, child, grandchild. I mean, I want them to be one of the great leaders of God's kingdom. Of course I want that. But to understand what they'd have to go through, understand what you have to go through to be a leader in God's kingdom, that's tough. Some of the first disciples, all of them were killed. That girl's sons were killed. And so they had to go through some tough things to be followers of Jesus, to be servants of the kingdom. When you're working in a kingdom, there's no higher position to have than those on the right, left, and the king. That's what she wanted for herself. And again, she might have a little bit off the whole kingdom thing, but she wanted her children to be seated with Jesus. She didn't want them just to go to church, right? I don't want you to just kind of hang out with Jesus. I want to be right there listening to every word he says. I want my sons, my children to be right there hearing everything that he says. She wanted Christ to be real in her kids' lives. I know many say that the mother's love is probably the closest example we have to God's love. But the reality is, not all love is like that. And really, truly comparing mother's love to God's love, it's kind of unfair to mothers. Because it's not going to, right? We may say that's the closest, but still, that's a high expectation to put on mothers. And so for me, I just don't get that the right thing. Comparing mother's love to God in reality is not fair to them. And no mother, for that matter, no person can love like Christ loves his own. And so, we can't love the way God loves except through Christ. And so, I'm not going to put that comparison. Some of you were raised by godly mothers. Some of you are godly mothers. There's no denying that or wanting to diminish that. But the real job of a godly mother is to reveal Christ to her children. The real job of a parent is to reveal Christ to her children. The real job of anyone who's leading anybody, anybody who's watching you, following you, niece, nephew, co-worker, neighbor, the real job for us as a human being is to lead people to Jesus. To humbly go before him with them and say, let me show you my Christ. If we allow Christ to love through us, everyone can show the love of Christ in the life. Christ's love is a love that goes through the valley of the shadow of death and brings life into being. It's a love that sacrifices itself over and over again and would even dare to lay down his life for others. So that's the kind of love that we see in Christ. That's the kind of love that Christ has shown through us to others around us. So many parents out there have expressed that being a parent is hard. It can be overwhelming, frustrating, and quite frankly, impossible. And I attend to all of that, agree to all of that. But I figured out why, because most believe that it's our responsibility, our job, to make our children do what they're supposed to do. It's our job to make our children live godly lives and to do things on their own strength. But it's not. It's through Christ and his strength we can do all things. Now, yeah, we could say do our best, we can try hard, whatever, that's great. But the reality is we can't do it. It's not your job to have your children, your grandchildren, follow God and live godly lives. It's your job to bring them to the feet of Jesus humbly before them and let him do the work in their lives through you and through them. Christ will be through the doing. Remember, no wonder so many parents become guilt-ridden over how their children turn out. Or so many grandparents feel guilt over how their grandchildren turn out. No wonder so many people come guilt-ridden over their neighbors and the co-workers those around them, and they're like, oh, they died last week, and I had only been a better person. They could have known or learned how to be a better person. No, if you just take it to the feet of Jesus and show them Jesus in your life, allow Jesus to see to work through your life and their life, then the guilt's not on you. It's on them. Many times it seems that we're swimming upstream without paddle in a flash flood. I like to watch those videos. If you want to watch those videos on YouTube, the flash floods that come through these little canyons, slot canyons that you call, that'd be perfectly dry in the middle of the desert, raining an hour away. And you can hear a noise. You're like, what's that noise? And within 15 seconds, the entire canyon is full of water, and cars are being thrown around, and trees are being torn down, and people are drowning, whatever. Like, where'd the rain come from? An hour away. Came down a canyon, you know. I love watching those videos because it shows us that we have really no control over a lot of things in our life. We have no control over the ability to really protect ourselves and protect our children and grandchildren. And feel like, it's my job to do it, you know. No. It's Christ's job. And Christ is the word. As long as they yield to him, he can do the same thing in your life as he's done in their life. So, when all along Christ just needed us to yield our actions to him and allow him to work through us, let us to him. God just wants us to do that. God just wants us to allow him to use us. God, here I am. Use him. Reach those around you. That's what he's asking. You don't have to be Jesus. You don't have to be Superman. You don't have to be Wonder Woman. All wrapped up in a perfect life. Right? We just have to allow Christ to reveal that everyone around us. Mothers, this is the day that's set aside for you. Mothers, you are wanted. You are needed. You have a wonderful calling of God. But I think all of us today can learn from these two women in the Bible how to bring others around us to the feet of Jesus. Could we consider not just a mother's love this morning, but consider God's love? That we focus on God's love and what God is doing in life. Mother, father, child, aunt, uncle, sister, brother, grandfather, grandmother, co-worker, friend. Allow God's love to shine out to all those around you. It is your responsibility on your own to make people around you so godly, only if you think that you can do it. And I can't. So it's not your responsibility. It's not even my job to allow Christ to be glorified in their lives. My job is to just bring them to Christ and let Christ work through me, reach their lives, and allow Christ to work in their lives, and allow them to bring Christ glory. If they don't do that, then that's on them. That's not on us. Let me pray with you all this morning as we close out. Father God, thank you.